Time now for Conversations with the Mayors, brought to us by the members for the Chamber for Greater Chapel Hill Carrboro. They're encouraging you to put down your mouse and get out of the house. Local businesses invite you to mask up, buy local, and engage in safe commerce. Visit carolinachamber.org to learn more about the Chamber and Chamber membership today. I'm joined in the studio today to talk Orange County with Chair of the Orange County Commissioners, Renee Price. Renee, it is great to see you. How are you doing this Wednesday?
I'm fine. It's so good to be back in the studio and to see people. This is wonderful.
I know. It's one of those things where it's great to have folks coming back in and seeing people that some folks I've been talking with on the phone, you know, since I took over the afternoon show from the beginning, and it's awesome to see them for the first time. I don't know if you saw former County Commissioner Penny Rich, but she had a kind of a shindig earlier this week as people were honoring her for being given the Old North State Award from Governor Roy Cooper. And seeing that event too was one of those things where, it's outdoors. There's a lot of people there, but you know, some folks have masks on, some are off. We know that it is safe and people are spaced out. It was one of those kind of wake up moments where it's like, we're kind of at this point now.
We're getting out of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, you and I were talking right before we went on air about last night's County Commissioners Board meeting. It was certainly a full one that went on for a good long time and had a whole bunch on the agenda. I figured we could start by talking about some highlights from that since it just happened last night.
Oh, well, where do you want to start? It was a lot. It was almost a five-hour meeting. Well, since we're right here, you know, in Chapel Hill, CHL, as you know, Roy Williams was there. He joined us so that we could honor him with a proclamation for his years of service, not just to the university and to, you know, to the sporting world, but, you know, the many things that he and his wife Wanda had done for Chapel Hill, Carrboro, all of Orange County, and to North Carolina. So it was really nice to see him. And Barry Jacobs came back to give a few words and told us about his love of golf as well. So it was nice. It was kind of like a homecoming.
Oh yeah, it's I think that's going to be kind of how it is over this next year with his announcement coming. Oh, it's hard to believe it was just more than a month ago at this point. But with his announcement coming kind of at the end of the season and, you know, things still largely being remote, I think people will look forward to a chance when, you know, Roy pops up around the community in different ways to see him and thank him for all of those things. Yeah. But yeah, that's certainly a great way to get things started. And then you went right into the riveting conversation of the budget. Oh boy, moving from Carolina basketball to a budget discussion, kind of shifting gears there.
Well, we're at the beginning, so, you know, for the next few weeks, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we will be talking budget and money, and of course, it's going to be a challenge. We've got to, you know, to help fund the two school systems and keep the county going, operating, moving along, and trying to recover with resilience out of this pandemic, with so many businesses having to either close down or slow down. You know, we've got to figure out a way to keep people motivated and to continue to move forward.
Absolutely. What do you anticipate are going to be some of the conversations that the county commissioners and probably the public will focus on the most now that you guys have gotten the big draft presentation from county staff?
As always, it's going to be the schools. we a lot anywhere between 48%, maybe 51% of the budget for our schools. We are really serious about educating our youth here, and that's always the main topic for us during the budget season. We also have, you know, we have to look at some of our other buildings and the parks and, you know, those other facilities, but it's usually the schools. We will also be looking at Durham Tech. I mean, that's moving along as well to expand Durham Tech so we can offer more services. And, you know, they have the middle college and other programs so that young people can get their high school diploma and their associate's degree at the same time and then move on. They go to a four-year college after that. So, you know, it's really an advantage. And if we can open that up for more students, that'll be wonderful.
Yeah, definitely an exciting project there. And as you mentioned, just very much on the front side of all of this when it comes to looking at actual numbers in the proposal and stuff like that. You mentioned you guys are going to have some sessions throughout the rest of May. So if people were watching that last night or just hearing about it being last night, the messaging to the public is, don't worry, you will have your chance to let the county commissioners know your feelings.
Well, yeah, we will have two public hearings, and people can go online and look at the budget. If there's something that's of interest to them or major concern, they can sign up to speak at our public hearings. As I said, there'll be two of them, and let us know how you feel.
Absolutely. Speaking with Chair of the Orange County Commissioners, Renee Price, orangecountync.gov, the website to go to check out that budget presentation from last night, as well as many of the other things from that county commissioners meeting. Any other highlights you wanted to touch on and share?
Well, we also did a proclamation for the 60th anniversary of the Freedom Riders. And actually, it was on the day, May 4th, was when 13 people got on the bus in Washington, on two buses in Washington, D.C. And let me take that back. I'm not sure if it was two buses, but I know it was Greyhound and Trailways. They got on the buses, and with their courage and determination, left D.C. and traveled through the Jim Crow South so that, you know, here we are 60 years later, and we've come a long way.
There's no doubt about it. Talking earlier this week with Braxton Fushi and Paris Miller, who have put together an event that's actually happening later
tonight.
On tonight, which should be a great one, and has an original Freedom Rider speaking on the panel. You know, they were talking about how there's no doubt that we've come a long way, but at the same time, there's a lot of the same issues that are out there. And Braxton Fushi specifically was saying, you know, there's a lot of things that you can look at today, both in how the youth activism is involved, but just the larger social and racial justice conversations that are being had that he remembers happening 50 years ago, 50, 60 years ago.
Yes, we've come a long way, but we've got a long way to go. We still do. It's one thing to legislate and to break down certain barriers, but you still have to get into people's minds and into people's hearts and consciousness in order to really make change and to understand that in many ways we are the same.
Absolutely.
And you know, it's heartbreaking when you when we see the advancements that we've made, but at the same time, you know, black people are being shot and killed for seemingly no reason.
Yeah, absolutely. We're speaking with Renee Price. Any other highlights from last night's meeting? As you said, it's 5 hours, so people
And talking about change, the residents in the Wildwood subdivision up in just south of Hillsborough in the Hillsborough ETJ, they are moving forward with changing the names of the streets that they live on. It was in the 1980s that Wildwood was built, and for some reason, the developer decided to name most of the streets after Confederate soldiers and generals. And so the residents there have decided that it's time for change. And so it'll actually happen on the 18th because of the way the process works with these virtual meetings, but we'll have Hydrangea Court and Water Oak Court instead of Braxton Bragg and Johnston.
Johnston.
So, you know, that's inspiring when people can come together and make a change for the better and realize that we need to do this.
That fits in with the same Freedom Riders discussion, no doubt about it. Well, orangecountync.gov, the website to go to for all the meeting details and materials from that meeting. And something else that is coming up for the Orange County government, and something that you and I have talked about a good bit, which is the Buckhorn Area Plan. There's going to be a chance for people to share their feelings on what they hope to see for the future of that land coming up soon.
Right, and that'll be on Monday, May 17th. It'll be virtual. If you think you're going to have difficulty logging in, let us know so we can make provisions, maybe at a community center or something where we can set up a screen or monitor so that you can get online and see what's being presented and also offer feedback.
Yeah, that's going to be important, and certainly something a lot of community members in the northern part of the county and probably down here too will have their eye on. Renee, we've got to begin wrapping up our conversation, but anything else you wanted to highlight for our community members?
Well, just to remind people that even though the restrictions are being lifted in terms of COVID, to still please be careful. Yes, you can walk around outside without a mask, but if you're in a crowded area, put the mask on so that we can still control the spread. We're getting to about, it's over 60,000 people have been, or maybe almost 70,000 people have been vaccinated, but we still have a ways to go. And you now can walk in. We've got walk-in clinics, so there's really no excuse, and there are pop-up clinics as well. On Friday, there's going to be a clinic at the Lakewood Mobile Home Park, so on Friday evening from 4 to 7. And you can also sign up online for either the walk-in clinic or just the regular clinic, I should say. If you want to have a specified time that you go in, you can do that. You can pick your appointment time. So there's really no excuse. And we have plenty of vaccines. We have enough vaccines to vaccinate everybody in the county. So
yeah,
let's
absolutely
do this so that we can really celebrate and get out there and hug people and have a good time this summer.
Yeah, absolutely. The same thing that's being said both at the state and the federal level too. And you mentioned the state level stuff kind of lifting and Governor Cooper having that plan to kind of continue rolling things back on June 1st. I am curious, the county state of emergency is also kind of part of that in terms of what residents here can do or not do. The future on that, what is the timeline on that still being in place? Because it is at the moment, correct?
Well, at the moment, our emergency declaration runs through June 30th, the end of the month. And I work with the mayors as well as the sheriff and the health department and all, and we come together to make the decision whether we will be more strict than the state or go along with the state declaration. So, you know, we want to be in coordination with the governor. Yeah, we also need to think about the fact that when the declaration is lifted or rescinded, what does that mean in terms of evictions and utility payments and those matters? So as soon as we get some more information from the governor to see what he is going to determine for the month of June, then we'll get together and we'll make our decision. Even though I sign the declaration, I do it. It's a team effort because we've got to work together.
Absolutely. That is definitely the vibes around the local government here in our community, and it is great to see. Once again, orangecountync.gov, the website to go to for all things Orange County government, and Chair of the County Commissioners, Renee Price. Thanks so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you, and it's so good to be back in the studio.
It's great to have you back, let me tell you.